This is Youth Conference California 2013. Our speaker is Brother Jim Stiles. His topic for this series is Return of the Exiles. The title for this class is Preparation for the Service is Essential. Brother Jim.
Well, I must say last night that when Aunt Sue and I were doing our little game over here, we were very impressed at the enthusiasm of all the girls that were here last night. You guys did a great job, even though you didn't end up in those top five groups, I guess. You guys did a great job. I thought maybe something was a little stacked there. Although ahead of time, if somebody had told me that we could take a group of people here and blindfold them and have them stick lampshades on somebody else's head and they'd all be going, whoa! I would have never thought that was possible, but I actually saw it happen. They were very enthusiastic, some of those teams. That was a lot of fun. Anyways, all right, the goal this morning, what we want to do in the first class is finish up Ezra, and then hopefully after that we'll have a chance in the second class this morning to have a look at Nehemiah, probably finish up Nehemiah tomorrow, and then end up the whole series with Malachi at the end. And hopefully that will cover all six of them. You'll go home experts now on Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther and Malachi. Well, somewhere we got to fit Esther in there too. So she'll fit in there somewhere. We'll get her as well. Now, if you remember in Ezra where we led up to, we were looking at the fact that the people had been challenged again by the adversaries. They'd gotten back to work again, and then the adversaries, they come back at them, and they were like trying to stop the work. So what we did is we picked up in Ezra as far as Ezra went to where he recorded the return, and then they got building the temple, and then the 16 years had lagged, and then we looked at Zechariah and we looked at Haggai because they came in right at that time and gave their prophecies, got the people working again, and encouraged them to finish the job as we saw in Zechariah yesterday. So now they challenge the people again, and you find out now that they write to Tatnai, who's the governor of the province. And it's been about 16 years now, and the work has been stopped now for a couple of years, and the people are starting to get back to work. So they write trying to get them to stop working at this point. Now, some folks have noticed that this letter is not as nasty as the one the Samaritans wrote before in order to get the pseudo-impostor fella to stop the work. But they did come after the elders. So some of the elders had to stand strong and stand true in this case, and they gave up their names, and they were reported. And that sometimes happens in life, to where you have to stand up for what you believe and be willing to individually stand up, as they did. So the people responded right now in faith, and I think you can see why. When you're reading through Ezra now and you see the response of the people at this time, you make little notes next to it that this is the results of Haggai and Zechariah, their work that they were doing with the people. Haggai reminding them about, look at, you know, consider how you've been doing the last few years when you quit working on the temple. And Zechariah comes in and says, hey, look at, the angels are all excited about getting this work done, so let's keep working. And so they did, and they continued working right through the persecution this time, even though they were a bit spooked out and scared. And so the Lord of hosts was there for them and protecting them, and the angels were the wall of fire all around them, as Zechariah had predicted. So they did faithfully witness to God, and they gave God the credit when they wrote back in their letter. They accepted the blame, which is nice to see, and they admitted that their fathers had angered their God, and that's why the work had stopped. And they acknowledged that God had brought the captivity in the first place. And then they referred to the political authority that they had to continue the building. So this is when the issue comes up about Cyrus's decree. Now, this is also where you start to realize that Zerubbabel is the fellow who earlier in Ezra was called Sheshbazzar. When you start lining up the things, if you're ever wanting to, you know, Bible mark the strategies that you can use to show that he really is the same fellow, he's called Sheshbazzar in Ezra 5 in verse 14. Whereas over in Haggai 1, the governor is referred to as Zerubbabel. So it may be a case of where the Persians called him Sheshbazzar. That may have been their name for him, but the Jews would have called him Zerubbabel. Or it could be the other way around. They laid the temple foundation in Ezra 5, and he was called Sheshbazzar there, but then he's called Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4 and verse 9. So I think you can line up enough evidence. You also have in Nehemiah 7 at verse 5 that Zerubbabel is the one who led the first return of the exiles. So I think we're pretty safe in assuming then that, again, these were just different names for the same person, and you've seen that before. So the decree goes out, the letter's there, and the king says, all right, let's search the archives and find out, did you guys really have permission to do this? And lo and behold, the angels made sure that the decree was written and it was recorded, and they found it up there in Ecbatana, which was the summer residence of the Persian kings. They would go there, higher ground, cooler, and they would spend some time there. So there was an official government record library kept there of the records of the Persian Empire. And so that's where they found the decree. And so the king comes back and says, go ahead, finish the work, get it all.
Christ.
And you walk with him daily. Relationship with God. Perfect love. And all of us should try to do that at some point in our lives. So when you look at what Ezra did, you know, he'd run his garments, his mantle, he pulled out his hair in verse 3. He wanted everybody to see he was serious. This is what he really felt about this issue. Some people thought he overreacted at this point, but I think this was Ezra. He was an emotional person like that, and he's just like so upset at what's going on. Because he waited to come back until the temple's finished. He gets back and he finds out, look at what's going on in the community. And so everybody who trembled at the word of God, he gets the people who are serious and motivated. They all come together. The ones that are concerned about the future and they want to see, like, what are we going to do? And this is what leadership does. You bring the people together. Now, Ezra isn't coming at them from the point of view that I'm good and all of you are bad. Oh, no. Ezra comes at them from the perspective of we all have a problem. He jumps right in the middle of it and he never puts himself up here and everybody else down there. That isn't his approach. He comes in and he says, we have a problem. We have sinned. We've made a huge mistake. And this is what leadership does. You jump in with the people and you realize we all have to find a solution. And so he falls on his knees before the temple and he prays to God. And rather than rush through that this morning, I think we'll pick that up after your workshops today. So I guess that's time. We'll pick it up there after the end of the projects this morning. But can they go start the projects now? Right. Probably you can start working towards your project groups. We got about 3 or 4 minutes.